Let's go back to that Passion Translation. That script in Psalm 95. So those who are here when you began, we read let's go to verse 7. It says, for we are the lovers he cares for, and he's the God we worship. So drop everything else and listen to his voice. Now that's a divine command this evening. Drop everything else and listen to his voice. For this is what he's saying. Now pay attention to this. This is what he's saying. Today when I speak, don't even think about turning a deaf ear to me. Like they did when they tested me at Meribah and Massah, the place where they argued with me, their creator. Your ancestors challenged me over and over with their complaining. Even though I'd convinced them of my power and love, they still doubted my care for them. So for 40 years, I was grieved and disgusted by them. Those are strong words. Can you imagine God saying grieved and disgusted? Woo! I describe them as wicked wanderers whose hearts do not follow my ways or keep my words. So I made a vow in my anger and declared, they will not enter the resting place I've planned for them. So now listen to this, what he says at the end. So don't you ever be hard-hearted or stubborn like they were. Say, I will never ever be hard-hearted or stubborn as they were. I open my heart to listen to the voice of God in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's continue then with, but of course, it's a prayer and fasting season. Today is day 11th, I'm told, of the fast. But then for several weeks now, I think since we began the first week of January, we've been speaking about praying from his presence. And I still want to visit some things there and go towards a certain direction. I said this past Friday, when you met here, we gathered here on Friday, when you practice entering into God's presence and praying from this place, we become more like him. Because you know, you spend time with him, and what happens is impacts you and become more like him. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it's written, be holy for I'm holy. So God says, be holy for I'm holy. It's because he's made it possible for us to walk in holiness. Don't forget that. He can never ask us to do something that he has not empowered us to do. So be holy for I'm holy. So the more you spend time praying from his presence and entering into his presence, we become like him. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm revising this, in 16 to 18, the Passion Translation, it is wonderful. It is so, so good. It says, but the moment, remember we become what? More like him as we spend time in his presence. Don't you know that you become more like the person you're spending time with? You talk like him or like her, articulate things in a similar way because of spending time, the power of association. So we enter into his presence, we become like him. But the moment, so look at this in the context of what I've said. But the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. God's desire is for his people to be able to see. And then he says, now the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is, Lord, there is freedom. And then continue the next one. He says, we can all draw close to him. Are you seeing that? We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. Do you see the resemblance there? Huh? Come on, are you still here? Or you came, okay? All right? You see the resemblance there, and with no veil we'll become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. And then he says this, what is that? Okay, now I'm referring to the Holy Spirit. Go back there. We can all draw close to him with a veil removed from our faces. So remember, we're talking about praying from his presence. So we can all draw to him with a veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. Now look at this. We are being transfigured. You remember in Matthew 17 of that mountain of transfiguration? We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. So how are we becoming? We're becoming like him. We're becoming like him being in his presence. I said last week, that's the time we get to realize what gives him pleasure and what saddens his heart or grieves his heart. We're becoming like him. But this will happen as we behold him. As we realize and we start learning how to enter into his presence, we have been transfigured into his very image. What did God do in the beginning? Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 says, let us create man in our image and in our likeness. It's God's design for us to be just like him. Be holy, for I'm holy. Be holy, for I'm holy. Let us create man in our image and in our likeness. He's so passionate about you and I, until when he was sending his son, he sent him like a man. Man. Like a man. Why is that so? He identifies himself with man. I think the most grievous thing to the Father and to his son and to the Holy Spirit is to see men that he loved and he paid the price in full for them go to eternal hell. It's sad. People that he desired to spend eternity with, having chosen the enemy of God, the devil, by rejecting Jesus Christ. It's sad. So we can all draw close to him with a veil removed from our faces. And then it says we have been transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. Then I submit this to you by the authority of God's word. If we know, we keep learning how to spend time with God and spend time in his presence, we become more like him and our lives become better and better and better. Church, this is the truth. That I can tell you from the authority of God's word, if you spend time with him and spend time with God, with his word, and listen to the Holy Spirit, you are assured. You are assured, guaranteed, a glorious future. I don't care how bad the past has been. Listen, the future is ahead of you if we start turning to the Lord. In fact, it says this, the scripture says, but in verse 16, but the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, are you seeing that? When the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. If you can see the glory of God, if you can see what he has done, if you can see what is available, there is nothing that will stop you from going into what you have seen. Amen? I know you all, if you saw gold somewhere and you know it's accessible to whosoever, I don't think you're going to sleep. Be looking for that, you're thinking of how you're going to get that gold. So the thing here is this, church. Many times believers are not seeing. And because they don't see, they don't have the energy, they don't have the strength, they don't have the power to pursue. When you've seen, you're convinced. No wonder Apostle Paul, praying by the Holy Spirit, says, for the eyes of understanding to be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Because when we see, when we are sure it's available, then nothing else will stop us from getting into there. I've never seen from the scriptures, and mostly from the scriptures, and I've had many testimonies over 25 years or 28 years. I've had many testimonies of people who've been caught up into the heavenly realm and by the mercy of God and heaven open to them, and all of them don't want to come back. Except if they had unfinished business, they knew I'm going to an incomplete mansion. Let me go back. But I'm telling you, the desire, when one experiences that glory of God, you don't want to come back. So the thing is this, we have to believe God to see. I remember the Lord telling me this, that you're not seeing. I said, yeah, what do you mean? But you've been saying, blessed are your eyes, for they see, but you've not been seeing. I asked him, how am I supposed to see? Tell me, you see through my script, the word of God, through my word. You look at the word, you start imagining it the way it says. Don't add anything else. The way it says, you start imagining it until an image is created inside of you. What does that mean? The eyes of your heart is flooded, or they're flooded with light. It takes light to see. And the word of God is what brings in light. Psalm 119 verse 130, the entrance of his word gives light, and it gives what? Understanding to the simple. Now, we have business here to do this evening. So look at this then. So we have been transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this, listen this, look at the last one. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. So can you see that when you start walking with the Lord, what happens in that transfiguration happening? Let's go over there talking about the glory of God. Let's go to Matthew 17. Because this word has been used several here about transfiguration. And in verse 1 it says, in fact, my Spirit-filled Bible says Jesus transfigured on the mountain, on the mount. Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. So you'd be missing out if you are not a mountain climber. Now, it's not a physical. Remember what a physical mountain. Remember what Jesus himself told the Samaritan woman. You know, he's seeking those who worship him. It's not a place anymore. It's right here in the Spirit. And he has raised us up together with his son, Jesus Christ. And then he says this, and he was transfigured before them. Let me read from the Amplified Classic Version to see how he says. Sometimes it's more vocabulary. Just a moment. Let me read from the Passion instead of the Amplified. The Passion Translation. It's so interesting what the Passion Translation says. That 6 days later, he says, are you there in Matthew 17:1? 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, Jacob and John, and hiked up at a high mountain to be alone. They are mountain hikers. They hiked up. Oh my goodness, anyone who's going to be hiking soon? Hiking is in the scriptures, and the master hiked. What have you been doing without going to the mountain? Need to join us as hikers. That's so funny. And I hiked up a high mountain to be alone. Then Jesus' appearance was dramatically altered, which, you know, other script, the scriptures, and the New King James Version says, was transfigured. A radiant light as bright as the sun poured from his face, and his clothing became luminescent. Did I say it right? Yeah, luminescent, I didn't say it, so right. But dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured. Let me read something that it includes here in the Passion Translation. Moses also went up Sinai's mountain and received an impartation of glory. Come on now. Oh, just this is wonderful. In spending time in his presence, you start receiving an impartation of his glory. There is the glory of God that starts being really manifesting through you, and you're able to see, and you're able to hear, and you're able to change and be transfigured.
Oh, that's wonderful. He received an impartation of his of glory. So listen to this. Spending time in his presence, there is so much impartation of his glory. In actual sense, the glory is being revealed to us. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of God is risen upon you. And then he says, darkness will cover the people and gross darkness the earth, but the glory of God, the light of God shall be seen upon you. Why is that so? You are seeing different. You are responding different. You are walking in high levels of his presence. The darkness has no power over you. So the Passion Translation says, and received an impartation of glory, his face shone and had to be veiled. Do you remember that veil, how it is removed? Huh? When we turn to the Lord with our whole heart, with an open heart. Remember, we read those scriptures. It says this, his face shone and had to be veiled. The transfiguration of Jesus is also part of our destiny. For the same Greek word used twice for believers being transfigured, by the renewing of our minds and by the glory of Christ within us, that will complete our transformation into Christ's image. Whoo! 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 I'm the only one shouting. Whoo! Oh my goodness. Oh, that's good. So look at this, because it gives the scripture reference of Romans 12:2. That's the renewing of our minds is so critical for us to experience God's presence and for us to walk in that glory of God is the renewing of our mind. I beseech you by the mercies of God that you may present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that you may do what? Do not conform to this world, but be transformed. That's the same word, Greek word. Be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that you may do what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The renewing of our minds is critical in us walking in those levels and levels and levels of His glory. So then, going back to the scriptures, the Passion Translation says in that Matthew 17, and his clothing became luminescent, dazzling like lightning. He was transfigured before their very eyes. Then suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared, and they spoke with Jesus. Peter blurted out, Lord, it's so wonderful that we are all here together. Forget about the other guys down there, Judas. Forget about them. Let's stay here. He says this. He says, Lord, it's so wonderful that we are all here together. If you want, I'll construct 3 shrines. One for you, one for Moses, and one for I think the glory is too much. You don't know what to say, but sometimes you blurt. He just blurted. He just didn't know what to say. But look at this then. But while Peter was speaking, a bright, radiant cloud spread over them, enveloping them all. Oh, he was a partaker. Do you remember he writes of the same in 1 Peter? How they saw that glory of God. He writes about it, actually. And God's voice suddenly spoke from the cloud, saying, this is my dearly loved Son, the constant focus of my delight. My goodness, have you ever been, sometimes you act as if you've never been in love. You know, when you are in love, there's some words when they are spoken to you, you feel good. The constant focus of my delight. You can write that, Kevin. So, sorry. Mama will look at, is looking at you. The constant, you're my, the constant focus of my delight. Listen to him. Then the 3 disciples were dazed and terrified by this phenomenon, and they fell face down to the ground. But Jesus walked over and touched them, saying, get up and stop being afraid. And it continues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's the glory of God. Let the glory fill this house.
How hungry are you for him? How much do you desire him? That you may see him, that you may know him, that you may be so much taken by that glory until nothing else matters in your life. I know that from the scriptures, I've had some experiences with the Lord, some encounters with the Lord, is this: the more we know his glory, the dimmer the things of the world become to us. We realize he's all what we need. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what am I here for? Truly, what am I here for? I can say truly, I'm here, still living on this earth because of the kingdom of God. Nothing else. I have no other agenda. And that should be our passion, to be like him. He was so much aware of where he came from, and he was so much aware of his mission, and he was so much aware of his temporary abode on earth. He was so much aware of that. Now listen to this. At some point they say even he knew that they wanted to make him a king. He said, I didn't come for that. Listen, when we know our purposes in God, we become so focused that nothing that is outside that purpose can remove us. We must know him. We must spend time in his presence. We must burn with that fire to know him. That should be our passion. So then, church, in still talking about that, it's amazing when you see about that glory. In several instances in the scripture, you see that glory and you see the fire coming with it. Not only the glory, but the fire coming together. Remember, the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of glory. Remember that? Remember that? He's called the Spirit of glory. And it's amazing that also the Spirit of glory, in fact, is called the glory of the Father. If you remember that. Let's go there to Romans chapter 6. Thank you, Father. Talking about praying from his presence. Let's start from verse 1 for context purpose. Romans 6, the New King James Version, please. What shall we then say? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall you who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us who are baptized into Christ, who are baptized into his glory, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. So he talks about actual Christ was raised by the glory of the Father. And remember in Romans chapter 8 verse 11 also he says about that spirit that dwells in us. Remember also in Colossians chapter 1, I think verse 27, thereabout he says Christ in us, the hope of glory. You remember that? The transfiguration is available. What is that transfiguration? As we renew our minds and learn how to enter into his presence, our minds are renewed and we are able to see and we are turned into his image to be just like him. We spend time with him, we become just like him. Okay? So then, having said that, Last Friday, while you were praying, I had this, not right here, and I had this, the Spirit of the Lord say this something to me. Remember praying for ourselves and praying for all the pastors and the churches around here, and praying for Garden Estate, Dome, Ridgeways, and the environment, the environs, or the surrounding areas. And I had this that pray, and let me say something here, which I say that I don't like using the word altar. Because in our nation, I've found like it's so misused. Now I've gone mostly to the coastal, say, madhabahu. Madhabahu ya mababu zako ndo yanakufuata. Madhabahu sijui madhabahu. I've heard that until done with that madhabahu thing in my mouth. Anyone who's ever heard of that? There's too much of that. And sometimes, believers, we can use word without revelation. And there is so much of that. You know, what is affecting you? Ni madhabahu ya babu yako. Ntanda apata wapi? Hayuko alikufa mwaka wa 86. Ntanda apata wapi wa madhabahu? You see what I'm saying? So it's not in me. But now the Spirit of the Lord say this to me, that I want you to call, to ask for the fire of the Lord, to come down and destroy altars that are not worshiping me. I thought, okay, there it is, altar. The word that I don't use. Real use. It's in the Bible, but it's misused. And therefore, I started asking, Lord, how will that be? Show me from the scriptures. I'd rather see it from the scriptures. Started directing me. I remember I was kneeling down and started directing me, and I started walking and started seeing from Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, when he building the altar and the glory of God came, the fire of God came. There was nothing upon there was nothing upon the 450 Baals, prophets of Baals. But when he repaired the altar, the fire of God fell. Then I asked a question. I remember going back to the house and said, Lord, you need to clarify this to me. Because that fire, I don't know if you had the same questions. Do you ask questions also after you've heard something being said? I thought, Lord, that fire was actually good fire. It was rubber stamping. In fact, what Elijah had done, because he said, let it be known today that the Lord God of Abraham, that let it be known today I have done this at your command. That's what he said. Then the fire came from heaven and consumed the sacrifice. So I said, okay, Lord. Of course, to the false prophets, there was no fire. But what about your fire? His fire was a signature of what he had done was in honor of God and at God's command. So listen to this. I was brushing my teeth in the evening, that Friday evening, and I thought, Lord, expound this more, and I'm going to show you from the scriptures. And this is what I had. And it's so clear in the scriptures. Going to look at this. When my fire comes down, to the righteous is a blessing for my purposes and for my will. But to the wicked and to the enemy is judgment. To the righteous is a blessing. To the wicked is a judgment when that fire comes down from heaven. I will show you from the scriptures. So you got what I've said, yeah? Okay, let's go then to 2 Corinthians. So this fire of judgment to the altars of the devil then, is this fire to the altars of the devil is judgment. What is it coming to do? To destroy. So listen to this. I'm not talking about a human being. In fact, let's go to 2 Corinthians so that you may get this right. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5. In the New Living Translation, please. The New Living Translation says this: we are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So we are human and we don't wage war as humans do, and we use godly mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. We knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture the rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. So this all is against the kingdom of darkness. You see that, church? All right, I wanted to qualify that before I can go on, so that we don't say like I'm calling the fire to my neighbors. They have an altar. No? No. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 19. Remember the depravity of Sodom and Gomorrah? You remember that? So let's go there. Look at a few scriptures here before we pray. So Sodom and Gomorrah, we know how wicked they were. And then in verse, and Abraham interceded that city or those cities may not be destroyed. So he kept on interceding, and finally the two angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, and therefore Lot was saved, and we know the story. But look at verse 23. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Now they use the Lord twice. I have to study that. So he overthrew these cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. So you see that. He is the one who rained that fire. What was that? That was judgment. They were in depravity, in every form of abomination. Actually, if I can use this word, that was the altar of the devil himself. Wickedness prevailed over that land. And what did God do to destroy that wickedness? Of course, you know, men died, but that wickedness was destroyed by fire and brimstone. It was judgment to the altar or the work of the enemy. Now, let's go to another scripture here. Leviticus chapter 10. It's another sad story, because these are sons of Aaron. It's the pastor's sons. How sad that is. Now, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it. Put incense on it and offered what? Profane. I don't know what the Amplified Classic Version say. Are you able to go quickly to that Amplified Classic Version just there? And maybe we'll come back to the other one. Another one, Abihu. Man, your fingers do the work quickly. Bless you. Bless all your fingers and the work of your hands and increase you. Praise God. And Abihu and the sons of Aaron each took his censer and put fire in it and put incense on it and offered strange. Isn't that clear? Offered what? Strange and what follows in it? Unholy fire. Whoo! I know I read scriptures. You know, I hear things in my hand and then I go to the scripture and say, it's clear. He offered strange and unholy fire before the Lord as he had not commanded them. That caused something to happen. So strange and unholy. Do you think it was being really offered to God? If it is strange and unholy, what actually are the false prophets of Baals doing? They are being offering to the devil, the kingdom of darkness. It was unholy.
But then in verse 2, it says, and there came forth fire from before the Lord and killed them, and they died before the Lord. Boom!
Oh, that's... Aaron was commanded by God not to cry, by Moses, don't cry, or this fire will come on you and you'll die. Can you imagine? He was told by God, don't cry. Go read in your own time. He was told by Moses, don't even dare to cry. Let the children of Israel do, but don't. In fact, it's your uncle, go in there. And do you know whose children these were? Aaron's children. Who was Aaron? The elder brother of Moses. So who are these? Nephews of Moses.
That's something, yeah?
God gets serious in his business. When people start bringing things that do not glorify him, he gets so serious with it. Look at this. And then verse 3. So this, we've seen the fire, okay? It came. An unholy fire, a strange fire, was met by the holy fire. And the owners of that fire died because it's a consuming fire, you know that. Then Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord meant when he said, I and my will, not their own, will be acknowledged as hallowed. That's holiness. By those who come near me and before all the people, I'll be honored. And Aaron said nothing.
Don't cry. Can you imagine? You don't even attend the funeral. You don't even cry. No WhatsApp group for raising funds. Oh, I have to read this. I think I have some few moments. Go to verse 4, because some of you are looking at me strangely. Look at this. So Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, son of Uziel, uncle of Aaron, and said to them, come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp. Next one. So they drew near and carried them in their under tunics, stripped off their priestly vestments out of the camp, and as Moses had said, look at what follows next. And Moses said to Aaron and Eleazar and Ithamar, his sons. These are his other sons. Aaron and his other sons, they've been told this. The father and brothers of the two priests whom God has slain for offering false fire. Look at what he says. Do not uncover your heads or let your hair go loose or tear your clothes, lest you die also. And lest God's wrath should come upon all the congregation, but let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord has kindled. Verse 7. And you shall not go out from the door of the tent meeting, lest you die. For the Lord's anointing oil is upon you. And they did according to Moses' heart. No attending of funeral. Don't you see that's business? Huh? So they start calling that fire to come upon those altars of the enemy. False worship. That's what happens. And remember, it's coming to the altars, not to the people. Huh? I'm not praying for people to die. I'm praying for people to be saved. Now look at this then. Is that clear? All right, thank you. So the fire, this fire, is judgment to the works of the devil. But it's a blessing to the righteous. Look at this in Exodus 9, 22, 24. Let me bring you another judgment from the New King James Version, please. Then the Lord said to Moses, that's in Egypt, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt on man, on beast, and every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail and fire darted. You ever played darts? Darted. It darted to the ground. Man, that was judgment. And the Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. And we know that was really destroyed.
And then he says this in verse 24. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, so very heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. God says this, I will do something that has never happened. When my judgment comes, is going to destroy every work of the enemy. And what was God dealing with in the land of Egypt? He was dealing with other gods. They were worshiping other gods, and God was dealing with them. He was actually judging every one of those gods. Of what he'd been taught, there were 10 plagues that it was, they were judging those 10 gods that they worshiped. And the last one to be judged, the fire coming upon them, was this firstborn son, because he was a god in families. That shook Pharaoh. When all that was happening, what was happening to the righteous? A righteous nation. The glory of God. So listen to this. So important that we always be at the Lord's side. We always pursue to be at the Lord's side. That we never be out there. In fact, Apostle Peter says this. Come on, how did I do that? Yeah, okay. I wanted to see something here that Peter said in Peter uses that word quite a bit, by the way, in his letters about judgment. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's start from verse 12 for context purpose. The New King James Version, please. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, are you seeing that? When his glory is revealed, you also be glad with exceeding joy. That's the thing about the glory of God, that joy comes in. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the spirit of what? Glory. You remember that? The spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. On their part is blasphemed, but on our part is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, and an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for the judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel? Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to our faithful Creator. Can you have that from the Amplified Classic Version, please, in verse 17? For the time has arrived for the judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news, the gospel of God? But I believe you remember Apostle Paul says about if we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. We humble ourselves, we don't allow the world in us. We humble ourselves, we want that we are right with him. And you know what consumes anything that is not of God in us as we yield to him? That same fire of God. But it's not coming as judgment. It's coming to purify us. Okay. Now, so we've seen that. You've seen why you're calling down the fire to the altars? In fact, that night, I won't go into details of this, that Friday night after I had that, the Spirit of God speaking to me regarding that, I went to bed and at around, I had a certain dream and I could tell the threats of the enemy And I could have talked about those altars. It was a threat. Think you can do that to me? You know, I don't know. Anyone who's ever waking up saying things in this, I was aggressive. I said, devil, shut up. You're not going to stop me from doing this. And I want us to hear the voice of God this evening as we pray in a moment. Now, let's go there to Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 quickly. John the Baptist is being asked, who are you? He says, I indeed baptize you. Say, are you the Messiah? I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Is that judgment? No, that's fire to purify God's people. I believe it has something to do with also zeal, has something to do with everything to see the will of God done in our generation, in our lives, and in our generation. An empowerment to do God's will. Remember when the children of Israel were looking at Moses, was at the Mount Sinai, what were they seeing? They were seeing clouds, they were seeing thunderings, they were seeing lightnings, they were seeing fire. Moses was inside. Remember, I told even your animals should not come around there at the base of the mountain, or the less they die. So others were seeing fire, lightning, and all thunders, but Moses was in the midst of it. He's the meekest man on the whole earth, the Bible says, in his time. The meekest man in all the earth. So that baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire is a different ballgame for the righteous. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, the Passion Translation, please. Hallelujah! Praise God. Chapter 2, from verse 1, the Passion Translation says, On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, I love that, was being fulfilled, because it had to be fulfilled. All the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast. Does it remind you of something? Huh? Does it remind you of something? What thing? Huh? Fire? But do you remind you of a place in the old covenant? Huh? Reminds you of what? Mount Sinai. Oh, that's what they kept hearing. Wow. You know, that violent blast. So he talks, the Passion Translation calls it a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. I love that. From out of the heavenly realm. The roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes. Let me read something here from the Passion Translation that I saw. I really liked it. This was the pillar of fire that led Israel from bondage into the promised land. The same pillar of fire manifested here to initiate a new beginning from dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit. Woo! Come on now. Are you seeing that when that fire comes to the righteous and it came into the new covenant? There's no legalism. Now it's coming in. The fire is the Holy Spirit to lead God's people into God's purposes and God's will in their generation. Listen to this. Let me read it again. The same pillar of fire manifested here to initiate a new beginning from dead religious structures into the powerful life of the Spirit. Each believer received an overpowering flame of fire, signified by the shaft of light that engulfed them. Each believer received that flame of fire. It was as though each one received his own personal pillar of fire that would empower him and lead him throughout his life. Ooh. What's your pillar? It seems like I'm the only one who has pillar here. Oh, come on now. I thought you were going to jump also. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. That's why we need this fire. To us is a blessing. To the wicked is judgment. To the darkness, to the kingdom of darkness is judgment coming upon them, and destroy any work
that is profane and holy, that God has not commanded to be offered. Listen to what this says. This was the promise Jesus gave to his disciples of the one like me, who would be sent by the Father and never leave them. Today, every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. This was the birthday of the church of Jesus Christ. And the birthday of the church of Jesus Christ began with fire. Hallelujah. Do you know what happens in the kingdom of God? The latter becomes better. That I've kept on saying glorious days ahead of us. And yesterday I was speaking to the staff and I started saying glorious days are here. You need to say here. Because sometimes as believers, we keep saying they're ahead, they're ahead, they're ahead, they're ahead, they're ahead. And we are supposed to get lay hold of those things by faith and see them manifest in our generation. So they're here. Hallelujah. They're here. Now faith is, we start confessing that and we start seeing that. We start seeing the manifestation of the glory of God in our generation than ever before. And we want to see in this area. And we want to see in these churches around here. And we want to see in the homes around here. And every altar that is of the kingdom of darkness destroyed by the fire of God. And them that have raised up the altars of God be filled by the fire of God and become more zealous to do the will of God in our generation. The fire again. Hallelujah. A separation, a turning to God with all their hearts and all our hearts to see the will of God being done in our generation. My goodness. It's separated into tongues of fire. That's the following verse. It's separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled, equipped with the Holy Spirit, and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. The Amplified Classic verse shows he kept giving them. He kept giving them. He kept giving them those utterances. Now, quickly. Let's go to the scripture again. We looked at, then we pray. Are we seeing the reason for the fire? Let me show you where do we get it? We get it from his presence. Huh? We can't try our own fire. We get it from his presence. When we get it in his presence, we spread it all around. Now look at this in the scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. Then I want us to pray 19 to 23, the Passion Translation. What we read last Sunday. Let me drink some water here. Oh, I get excited with my assignment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now then, before as we pray now, and now we are brothers and sisters in God's family. We are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. And he welcomes us to come into the most holy place. He does what? Welcomes us to come into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm, boldly and without hesitation. He welcomes us. We have a high priest who's welcoming us. Hey, I don't want to pray from the earth. I want to pray from that place. The place has been made available for me. Why would I be eating? Oh, I'm eating outside here. Why are you eating outside? Come and eat at the table. Oh, no, I think I'm dirty. I'm out there. No, stop being out there. Let's come in. He says, for he has dedicated a new, look at this, he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, you remember when it was torn in two? When he said it is finished, the veil was torn in two. And he says this, Jesus' body was torn open to give us fresh, free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome into God's house, to welcome us into God's house, we come closer. Closer to who? To the consuming fire. We don't fear that fire.
We are, the children of Israel were fearing, Moses, go ahead and talk to God. Go ahead. We will not even come near. Go ahead and talk to God and tell us. Whatever he tells you, we'll obey. They're all lying. While Moses was in the midst of us, listen to this. We have come to this place because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We have been brought to this place, meaning we can come into that place of fire. Oh, let me read this. You'll come back there. Oh, no, no, no. Ah, okay. Oh, Lord Jesus. A moment. Let's read this and then we'll come back there now. In fact, stand up, please, so that I don't continue. We have to pray. Listen, go to verse 22 of Hebrews 12, the same Passion Translation. Let's see this. Oh, let's start from verse 18, please. Now be ready to shout, now that you're standing like me, okay? Listen to this. For we are not coming as Moses did to a physical mountain with his burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom with a raging whirlwind. You haven't started it. No, don't mind. We're not coming to... Go back there. We're not coming as Moses did to a physical mountain with his burning fire, thick clouds of darkness and gloom with a raging whirlwind. Go back, go forward. We are not those who are being warned by the jarring blast of trumpet and the thundering voice, the fearful voice that they begged to be silenced. You remember that? Don't, please, don't go speak to him. Now look at this. They couldn't handle God's command that said, if so much as an animal approaches the mountain, it is to be stoned to death. The astounding phenomena Moses witnessed caused him to shudder with fear, and he could only say, I'm trembling in fear. By contrast, we have already come near to God in a total different realm, the Zion realm, for we have entered the city of the living God, which is the new Jerusalem in heaven. We have joined the festal gathering of myriads of angels in their joyous celebration. And what are you doing still standing there? Oh my goodness, by contrast, we see why we carry that fire. By contrast, we have already come near to God in a totally different realm, the Zion realm. We have entered. Hallelujah. That's wonderful. That's glorious. Listen to this, verse 23. And as members of the church, have you seen that? As members of the church, of the firstborn, all our names have been legally registered as citizens of heaven. And we have come before God who judges all and who lives among the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect in his eyes. Hallelujah! Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the one who paid the price for our redemption, that we can come into the presence of God with no fear because he's made a way for us. And carry that fire in our generation and release it and judge the works of the enemy and destroy the altars of the enemy and build up the true worship of the living God forever and ever and ever in our generation. Now, church, I can't even continue. I can go on and on and on. I'm so excited. I want us to end. We enter into the Holy of Holies with his precious blood. What are we praying for? Because of time, I'll continue on Friday with this. But I want us to pray for this area. But I want us to know that we can enter into God's presence. We can enter into the presence of God. We can enter into this realm. The Passion Translation calls it realm. It's no longer a physical mountain. It's a realm. That's a heavenly realm. To go before God. And then we can release the same all around. And listen to this. All around here. In the surrounding areas.
and praying for the pastors and praying for the churches around here and praying for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and bringing down the kingdom of darkness and establishing the true worship of the Lord our God. Father, we do thank you this evening. Oh, we've seen light. In your light, we've seen light. And Father, I'm asking you for such light to fill this sanctuary, such light to fill this compound, such light to fill the surrounding areas, Father, and for the outpouring of your Spirit in doing your will in our generation. Father, as we pray, it's so clear in the scriptures, you've seen that you've baptized us with the Holy Ghost and fire. May your fire just be so evident as we pray these tongues of fire. Let them be tongues of fire, establishing your will as we call down the fire of God all around here in destroying the altars of the enemy and establishing the only true altar which focuses on true worship, worshiping the Lord our God. Hange and embrace the Bengra Shude Branda Mangasada. Okoro Shirishtama. Gomande Reste Bakayanda. Go Seredi Bakasa. Go Seredi Bakas Seredi Bakasada. Miss Ruth, if you can take one of the microphones there, I want you to pray. But I want to bring to your attention some things here before we all agree in prayer. Time went so fast. You remember that we've read from that, from Hebrews, but actually referring to the old covenant, the giving of the law in Mount Sinai. There was fire, there was the glory of God, there were thunderings and all that. But now as we've read from the scripture, then we see in the new covenant, the birthday, as the Passion Translation says there, the birthday of the church was the same. But not just the same. It was a better covenant. Remember in Mount Sinai, there's the giving of the law in a tablets of stone. In the inception of the church is the giving of the law, but is written in the tablets of flesh, the hearts of men. And the Bible says it's a better covenant. That means now it's not locked up somewhere, an ark of covenant in one place. You are that ark of the covenant. That it was so dramatic in the giving of it. Don't you know that it's getting better and better in this covenant that we are in, and it's getting better. That's why I believe, like even the gathering and the few minutes that we've been praying over here has effect all around. It has effect all around. In Hebrews chapter 8, let's read it from the Passion Translation, please. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 7. Quickly, then we'll pray. For if that first covenant had been faultless, no one would have needed a second one to replace it. But God revealed the defect and limitations of the first when he said to his people, "Look, the day will come, declares the Lord, when I will satisfy the people of Israel and Judah by giving them a new covenant." Are we of the new covenant? It will be an entirely different covenant than the one I made with their fathers when I led them by my hand out of Egypt. For they did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I rejected them, says the Lord God. For here is the covenant I will one day. Here is the covenant I will one day establish the people of Israel. I will embed my laws within their thoughts and fasten them on their hearts. I will be their loyal God, and they will be my loyal people. If the old covenant was being given with all the glory and the splendor there was, we find that actually in the book of 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, with all the glory that was, how much more of the new covenant that God has come to indwell these bodies. When you open our mouths to speak, when you open our mouths to speak the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, it brings down the kingdom of darkness. That fire goes to the false altars of the enemy, and the fire of God comes to establish true worship. So I want us, as we pray in these few moments over here, Miss Ruth leads us into prayer. Let's all engage. Let's undergird her, and let's flow with the Holy Spirit. Go ahead. We are praying for these surrounding areas over here, and the pastors and their churches and this whole area.
Thank you, Lord.
Ah, in this day.
Oh, thank you, Father. She we bless mandas. Your thank holy you, name tonight.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the activity of the Spirit that has happened tonight, oh God. You called us into your house for a divine encounter. And this encounter, amen. Lord, amen. Our God, has reminded us that of your fullness we have all received. So every word we have uttered by faith tonight, oh God, we believe it has activated the purposes of God. It has activated the plan of God. It has activated the will, the divine will of God. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, we want to call those things that we have already spoken about by praying in tongues into the reality of the physical realm. So by faith tonight, oh God, we are those who believe. And the Bible tells us, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who the Lord has redeemed and delivered from the hand of the enemy.
Thank you, Father.
So we are taking the territory. We are taking the territory of Dome. We are taking the territory of Garden Estate. We are taking the territory of Maroroi. We are occupying by faith tonight, oh God. Jesus himself gave us the greatest commandment, and he said, go ye and make disciples of all men. So by faith tonight, O Lord our God, we've broken down altars. By faith we are declaring altars of immorality, you are broken. Altars of alcoholism, you are broken. Altars of drug addiction, you are broken. Altars of mugging and thuggery, you are broken. Altars of idolatry, you're broken. Altars of worship of wealth, you're broken. Altars of religion, you are broken by the word of God. Tonight we declare a new atmosphere, an atmosphere of the glory of God, of your fullness we have all received. Therefore, our mouths represent the mouth of God. Our utterances are utterances of faith. So tonight, in the name of Jesus, we are calling forth restoration. Restoration. Restoration of faith. Restoration of morality. Restoration of families. Restoration in the name of Jesus. We declare by faith tonight, O Lord our God, that every altar that has been broken, it dies to the root. It's not only broken, it is diminished in the name of Jesus. We speak the blood, the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that burns every root. We burn every root in the name of Jesus. We burn every cause in the name of Jesus. In the authority of the blood of Jesus, we declare this whole region is cleansed. We cleanse it by the blood of Jesus. We cleanse the minds of the young. We cleanse the minds of the elderly. We cleanse the minds of the children. We cleanse the mind of the business people in this region, oh Lord our God, that their minds will be thinking in tandem with the purposes and the graces of our God. So tonight, in the authority of the word of God, we use the name of Jesus. The name that is above all names. The Bible tells us it's on the account of that name that we can come before you, Lord our God, and ask for our eyes to be opened, that we may see what is the hope of our calling. So we occupy our space. We occupy occupy this region. We occupy in the authority of the name of Jesus. And we declare by the word of God that this region is transformed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
So we ask that there be a mushrooming of holy businesses, upright businesses,
thank you,
oh Lord
Father.
Our God. We declare a transformation of the clubs and the discotheques, oh Lord our God, to become community halls that can advance the causes of the children and the youth of this region, oh Lord our God. So we declare in the authority of the word of God, oh, an occupation by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, Ramashata, the churches around here, oh Lord our God, we call them visionaries, the leaders of the churches in this region. We call them visionaries. They hear the voice of God. As they hear the voice of God, they are acquiring the land that the enemy has been using. We declare a land transfer, land transfer, land transfer, oh Lord our God, into righteous hands in the name of Jesus. And on that account, oh Lord our God, we awaken to what the Bible says, that we may know what is the hope of our calling and what is the exceeding greatness of your power towards us who believe, that we stop limiting ourselves. We break barriers of limiting ourselves, oh God, to think that we cannot be the business people that are taking occupation of the land that you are transferring. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, we arise, oh Lord our God. We arise to what you have taught us tonight, that the glory of the Lord is moving from level to level, and we are the carriers of that glory, because we are the carriers of the glory and we are the influencers of this region, oh Lord our God. We position ourselves accurately. We position ourselves accurately to receive divine finances, oh Lord our God, to be able to perpetuate the gospel of the kingdom of God. So we occupy the land and we occupy the schools and we occupy the businesses and we occupy even the residential homes in the name of Jesus. It's high time we start moving here, and therefore we declare it. We are taking ground. We are gaining territory. We are gaining territory in the name of Jesus, that the righteousness of God may blossom even in this region. So by the authority of the word of God, we seal words of faith that were spoken in tongues tonight, oh God.
Yes.
They have gone deep. We are reminded that when Jesus cast the fig tree, the Bible says that the following day when they passed over, his disciples said, Lord, look at the tree that you cast. It has withered. So today we believe that our words of faith have cut many trees. All altars have been cut, and they will start withering. They will start withering. They will start withering in the name of Jesus. So we anticipate, oh Lord our God, a manifestation of the graces of our God, the glory of our God, causing this locality and its environs, oh Lord our God, to love the word of God. We declare your word is elevated here.
Thank you, Father.
And we declare the fear of God is permeating into the residential locations here. And so the pastors around here, oh Lord our God, they have projects and missions, oh Lord our God, to go and harvest the souls. For we know that soon and very soon there will be an overflow of the harvest of souls, because the work of the kingdom of darkness has been destroyed.
Thank you,
and
Father.
The righteousness of our God is elevated tonight in the name of Jesus. We thank you for a transaction of the exchange from evil to righteousness,
thank you,
from
Father.
Poverty to wealth, from addiction to the freedom. Because
you,
the Bible says that where when the truth is known, then your people become free. So we set your people free by the entrance of your word.
Father.
And therefore tonight we declare souls are being reignited, oh God. They are being stirred in their night time, oh God, as they walk across here, oh Lord, God. The Spirit of the Lord is hovering around, as the Bible says in Genesis, that when the Lord God looked and saw the chaos that was on the earth, he spoke his word, and the Spirit of the Lord hovered, and order was created. By our words tonight, we create order in this locality and in its environment in the name of Jesus. And we declare, oh Lord God, so harvesting.
Thank you, Father.
So we declare in the name of Jesus, oh, a transformation and a change.
Thank you, Father.
By the word of God.
Thank you, Lord.
By the name of Jesus and by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus'
name. Thank you,
pray.
Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Miss Ruth. I want you to, in your own time, I know time is gone, but in your own time, go read 2 Chronicles chapter 34, the story of Josiah. Let me read a portion of it. It says, for in the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father. And the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem. Listen to this. In the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence. And the incense altars which were above them, he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces and made dust of them and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. You see that? And then later on, of course, there was a revival. The word became alive. Hilkiah the priest started reading the scriptures. He finds the book of the law, and when it was read, it was all alive. When idolatry is removed, true worship comes in, and the word of God is heard in the ears and hearts of people. It is received as a revelation. And then, at the end of it, it says this, in verse 29, then the king sent and gathered all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the Levites and all the people, great and small. And he read in the hearing of all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. And then verse 31, then the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimony and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant that were written in the book, that is consecration and devotion to God, the true God only. Verse 32, and he made all who are present in Jerusalem, Benjamin, to take a stand. So the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. Look at verse 33. Then Josiah removed all the abominations from all the country that belonged to the children of Israel, abominations, and made all who are present in Israel diligently serve the Lord their God. All his days they did not depart from following the Lord God of their fathers. It began by purging idolatry. And what he did actually, he restored true worship. That's what you want around this area. The pastors around here, the churches all around here, this whole area, Garden Estate, Dome, Ridgeways, Marurui, surrounding areas, we want to worship. And we proclaim this evening. Hallelujah.